flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring to you former Cowboys running back, College Football Hall of Famer, now East-West Shrine Bowl Hall of Famer. It is Eddie George. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
We're doing really well. Thank you for jumping on with us. Now, I just want to make sure I have my timeline right. Did you guys have the fancy banquet yesterday and then the East-West Shrine Bowl today?
That is correct. We had the banquet last night in the Texas Rangers Stadium, which is awesome. A beautiful event. It was pouring raining last night, so I'm glad that the roof was closed. it was great. It was a first-class affair.
Are you to the point, because you said it's great, first-class affair, I'm not dismissing that at all. Are you to the point that you've done so many fancy things, though, that when you go into one of these, you're like, eh, that's fine? Or do you always find something about it that you're like, ooh, wow, this is fancy?
No. I think, you know, anytime you're getting inducted into any type of Hall of Fame, I can only speak to myself, I have a great sense of gratitude and joy behind that, because people recognize, you know, what you've done in your career. You know, it's been 25 years later, and you have a chance to impart knowledge and wisdom to the younger generation of what it took and what you had to go through to get there, and share stories. And also, you know, for as particular this one, you know, the East-West Shrine Bowl, for what it represents over the last 100 years, you know, the Shriners Children's Hospitals, they provide specialized pediatric care regardless of a family's ability to pay. And that's something that, you know, has been very successful. And it also highlights the talent that's coming out of college to give them opportunity to get in front of scouts over a week's period of practices and to separate themselves from everybody else to compete and so forth. So it's one of the oldest or the oldest bowl game of this caliber, and it's tied to a philanthropic effort, and what can be better?
Oh, man, it's always a great highlight. Now, Eddie, I was kind of curious, do you have the painting of you running away from the Notre Dame defenders up all the time, or was that just for Tim Brown?
Well, honestly, that picture has always been there. I just didn't notice it that particular day. You know, Tim just so happened to be on there, and there was the picture. So, no, I'm joking. I said left for Tim, you know. we have a long-lasting relationship. Tim and I, of course, I had a chance to play against him in the league, and we developed a relationship to the Heisman, and we were on various shows together, with the Fox Sports Grill football show, football preview show back in the day. So we have a great relationship, man. Our families know each other. So I was like teasing him a little bit, rubbing in his face a little bit. And, you know, he knew the outcome of that game, what it was going to be. So I just had to let him know.
That is fantastic.
It's a long-lasting relationship. Yeah.
We've had him on a few times. He's a great dude. And being from around here in Woodrow Wilson High School is always nice to see as well. I was kind of curious, mm-hmm. Eddie, when we watched you here and when we watched you throughout your career at Tennessee, I always thought of you as a very powerful back and a very strong running back. And I was kind of curious if you ever looked at other running backs, who was the guy that you were like, he does something I can't do? Like Chris Johnson was a real fast, lightning fast guy. Was there mm-hmm. something that you were like, I wish I could add something like that guy has to my portfolio?
No, not really. I mean, you know, God gave me the abilities that he gave me. Of course, you always wish you could be faster. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, Chris Johnson is a 4.2. Of course, I would love to be faster. But I would say I had a game that was powerful but yet elusive. Mm-hmm. I thought I did things very fairly well, blocking, running the ball, catching the ball out the backfield. It was just one of those deals, man, where I was forced to play in the telephone booth. The luxury of having, a couple of 1,000-yard receivers to stretch the field,
mm-hmm.
you know, to give you that space. So if you have to look at it in totality, like I had to rely on one specific part of my game for us to be successful, and that's okay.
Well, I always drafted you as my running back in Madden. So I was always, this is like a really great moment for me, Kevin,
nice.
Because I get to thank him for all those Madden wins that I had back in the day.
This is very nice.
Yeah.
You can also, by the way, thank him by going to ShrineBowl.com if you want to buy tickets for the game.
That is exactly what you can do there. I was also curious too, your time in Dallas. What kind of interesting place is Dallas to play in?
Oh, well, you know, the fan base, they're incredible. I mean, they get behind you. They were, when I was here for that 1 year, they embraced me in hopes that we could do some great things together. Of course, it didn't work out that way, but the fans was always very supportive. They're very passionate fans. But Jerry runs his organization the way he wants to. And because he's the owner and he gets it, he demands excellence. He's his heart is in the right place. And you could argue, well, he might be too involved and he might listen. He knows exactly what he wants. And he's involved in everything. It's first class to how you travel, to how you prepare, making sure the players are well prepared and giving them the best from nutrition, comfort and so forth. Now, I think he just has to do a long, hard look and meditate on the fact that, okay, for us to get to that next level, and realistically, what's going to take for us to start winning championships around here is finding the right guy in the building and allowing him to coach his players, allowing him to find the right groceries for what he needs to cook up to build a sustainable excellence that he's looking for. Now, in Dallas, they've had some spikes here and there. They've had some great times with Tony Romo and Ezekiel Elliott and transition to Dak and so forth. But just that sustainability just hasn't been there. One, that's been the league. But two, you know, it's a cultural thing in the locker room that they're going to have to address. From the outside looking in, you know, you have to look at it from the top down. Are they all on the same page, you know, with the GM? Well, Jerry is the GM and the owner. And the head coach that he's bringing in, you know, sometimes you're in a situation where you're handcuffed to only what you're allowed to do. So, you know, Jerry's going to have to do a hard look at himself and say, okay, if I want this to be successful, I've got to allow my coach to coach and trust that he's going to make the best decisions. And he may have done that. I'm not sure. But that's what it looks like on the outside looking in and a cultural issue in the locker room.
Eddie George, join us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, home of the Dallas Cowboys, by the way. Looking at this running back class that's coming into the NFL this year, Ashton Jeanty, you know, everybody knows about what he is. I was kind of curious, with what today's game is, What is the best style of running back to put behind what kind of offensive line? You were talking about the totality of it. And like Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley go to two different teams, two unique styles of running back. What's the style of running back you would look for out of this class this year?
One that's going to give me the parts up yards. Mm. I mean, look at Saquon. He's our version. Well, this generation's version of Barry Sanders. Okay. Yes. He's able to hit a home run from anywhere on the field, anywhere, anytime. Doesn't take a lot of yards for loss. You know, he gets behind a great offensive line. He is imposing his will right now. Same thing with Derrick Henry. You get him going, you know, 255 pounds of that, come down here and impose his will. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a guy that can own the middle of the field and that can wear a defense out. He's not built to physically built to stop powerful running backs nowadays. Everybody's, you know, the defenses are now, but personnel-wise, are a little bit smaller up front. They want to play fast. They want to play with speed, try to cover every blade of grass in the field. Well, now the game is getting back to that physicality where that forced you to play football. You look at the last four teams that played in the playoffs, they had some form of a run game, okay? The Bills with Josh Allen and Cook. Of course, you know, Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts. Even the Redskins with Daniels and their bevy of running backs. They're all now predicated off that run game. And you have to have an element of it to win a championship. Now, Kansas City's a little different. You know, Mahomes is Mahomes, and he is a problem for everybody. Whether he's running it, throwing it, doesn't matter. They have enough of a run game to keep teams off balance. But I think if you don't have that guy at quarterback, you've got to run your offense to a power run game. So I think the game is starting to gear back toward the days when you're running RBI formation, coming downhill, forcing these safeties and backers to fit it right every single time. The moment that you don't fit that thing right, it's going to split and go along.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Way. So I think we're getting back to that.
As we're talking with Eddie George right here on 105.3 The Fan, I was curious, when you interview with the Bears or when you interview with Tennessee State, whatever the case might be, do they ask you a plethora of questions to start off, or do they essentially go, hey, what is your vision for this team, this program? And then like you give your presentation and the questions go from there.
Yeah, well, it's very conversational. My experience with the Bears, I did an internship with them 2 years ago with the Bill Walsh Diversity Program, and was really just getting reacquainted. And first of all, I had to let them know who I was in terms of not just a Heisman Trophy winner, played with the Titans and so forth, but who I am as a man, what are my principles, what do I believe in, you know? And then we got into more specifics of, what is my plan for the Bears? What does that look like? Coachly speaking, in the locker room, coaching staff, and the familiarity with the roster and the salary cap, community relations. I mean, all this stuff, you know, was talked about for over a 3-hour period. So, you know, it's really just giving your thoughts and sharing your thoughts about how you would fix the Bears, a case study. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it that way, and here are your answers, here are your problems, and these are the solutions. It's not a cookie cutter thing. Each team is different. Each program is different. What's needed at Tennessee State is vastly different than what's needed at Chicago.
Yeah. You
know? So it's a piece by piece deal. And that's what I've learned over the last 4 years is being in this business. Adaptability, adaptation is the key really for success. And the ability to adapt, but also holding on to your convictions and your virtues in terms of your philosophy, your non-negotiables, and you know, who you're going to be as a head coach. You know, so you have to strike the balance between being flexible and being stern, and that takes a great deal of discernment within that fine line.
Now, the 100th annual East-West Shrine Bowl is tonight at AT&T Stadium. You get your tickets at ShrineBowl.com. Eddie, you're in the College Football Hall of Fame, just got inducted into the East-West Shrine Hall of Fame. What's the next Hall of Fame that you want? Like, mm-hmm. What are you gunning for next? That's because you already got two, so let's go for three, four.
Well, you know what? I'm also in the High School Hall of Fame, the National High School Hall of Fame. So
three.
I think the last one would be the Gold Jacket. I think that would be probably the last one. So, you know, you're fortunate enough to get in there. My statistics and all of my body, my football life is worthy enough to get in there. Then so be it. That's completely out of my hands. So, yeah. I'm in the clubhouse with that one, boys.
Okay, and I definitely hear what you're saying about it being out of your hands. Do you ever feel the pressure to like network or chat it up with voters, or like, I'm serious. Like, is this process political ever? You feel like in terms of like, yeah, well, everybody likes that guy because he chats it up, but I have had better numbers than he did.
Well, I mean, I don't know the whole process. I've heard that that's what you have to do. Are you a voter by any chance?
I'm sorry, or else I would have had Darren Woodson in the Hall of Fame already for sure too.
I played with Darren. I think he's definitely deserving of it. Not quite sure how it all works. Is it your body of work? Is it the number of Super Bowls you've been? Were you an integral part of the game? I'm not quite sure exactly what that criteria is, because you can look at anybody's body of work that's played a very long time and make a case for or against that person. So, again, I'm not sure. I'm completely not sure how it is, but if you're in the conversation, I think you're deserving of going in. And Darren Wilson has been a finalist for, I don't know, what, 7, 8 years or something like that?
Too long.
And at some point, you know, either he's worthy to go in or not. And, you know, it's a heartbreaking thing when you get to be a finalist and then the rug slips underneath you. And then you go through the whole process yet again, you know, you get your hopes up. And I believe that Darren is definitely one, having played against him, what he meant to not only the organization, for the Cowboy organization, but what he meant for professional football, period. Class act, played the game the right way, put up the numbers for it, won Super Bowls, been the heartbeat of a great defense during their time when they really was relevant in the NFL in terms of wins. So I don't know what else could be said, you know, other than if he's going to get in or not. I mean, so there's a lot of competition to get in.
Yeah, well, there is.
Well, we would love that for him. We would love that for you. East-West Shrine Bowl today at AT&T Stadium. You can get your tickets at ShrineBowl.com. Eddie, thank you very much for taking the time and giving us all that info.
Guys, thank you for having me on, man. Good luck next season.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Eddie George right here on 105.3 The Fan. That is very fair. I think that's why he said it. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus we're going to talk about, yes, tequila chicken next on The Fan.
Ooh. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I promise I really do love underdog. If you want to go higher or lower,
screw the numbers.
Jalen Hurts, 253.5 yards
or Lamar Jackson
in the big game. You can make that happen. Not Lamar Jackson. I messed that up.
We're still continuing that segment you did as a commercial?
No.
Oh.
Now it's time for AM on the FM.
What does this button? do not push the button. You have no idea of what it.
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
He only raised $80,000 for Peace-a-thon last year. Come on,
dude,
Kevin. You gotta be better, man. You gotta be better.
And now I just cut into your segment. I'm sorry.
Look at that, man.
They were gonna do something special with that $80K. Well, they were gonna do something with $100K, but they couldn't raise the other $20,000 you promised.
It was like 83.
17.
I think they only budgeted for like 45. So,
man, why does my possibilities have no faith in us year in, year out? Did they hear that underdog live read and they're like, yeah, guy.
Oh, they said it was 45 last year. We're going down to 35. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. We got to start budgeting different around here, man. It's a different economy with Kevin doing these live spots. It's time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford. I can get that part right, but that's a lie. My name's actually Alexander. Don't call me that. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. To answer today's question of the day, it's going to be inspired by something that I don't know if it's a genius idea or if it's just weird. We're going to get to that here in just a second. It's tequila chicken. Anyways, the question of the day is surrounded by this. We'll get to that in a second. What is a weird food combination that someone around you or yourself really likes?
Peanut butter and cheese.
Oh, okay. That's a great start.
I liked it as a kid, and I haven't had in a while, but I did it as an adult. Peanut butter on toast with scrambled egg on top.
That's weird.
Really?
That is
good.
Weird.
It's good.
Huh.
Just telling you.
But see, I guess the thing, like, I'm thinking, like, the sweet part, but French toast has egg on it. Like, there's a lot of things that have egg that also go with sweets, so... Maybe I can try it.
I used to think everybody in the world did this, but my grandmother did this and I always thought it was great, is hot dogs and ramen. So I don't know if that is a widely accepted thing or she just didn't want to spend a lot of money on her meal. Either way, thought it was delicious.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Yeah, that was something I would definitely try that and go, yeah, no problem with that.
We used to have a Christmas party amongst friends way back when we were all single. And we had one friend that would always bring shells and cheese with chopped up hot dogs in them. And that was the high.
Yeah.
People were bringing in like lobster thermidor and all sorts of stuff. And he rolls up with that. It's gone.
It's thermometer.
No, I thought Mike was going, how are you going to drink that? Because he was going to go lobster thermos. Mm-hmm. But I did not anticipate that one.
The thermometer part. But yeah, that was always the thing that was gone first, was that everybody was like, I love shit. Because we were, you know,
what
we
was the
20.
Last word you just said?
Shells. I was going to say shells.
Okay.
Sorry.
Good job, Corey.
I said shells.
Sounded like a cuss word.
Yeah, Kevin's getting in your head, man. Yeah. I don't like that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you dropped the S-bomb. Kevin drops the F-bomb.
And the 903.
Bomb you want me to drop?
Ranch on fried fish.
Huh?
I like tartar sauce
salad.
And ketchup when I go to Long John Silver's, underrated. I like taking ketchup and tartar sauce and mixing it together.
But Lucy does that.
I do like it. I think it's very good. Tartar sauce and ketchup together, very good combo.
She's always like, Daddy, would you like to try my new invention? And I'm like, nope.
Aw.
I don't want to.
It's just going to be weird.
I don't want to taste it and be like, ugh.
I like that
noise. Did as a kid in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
I did get dared, or I stupidly was like, watch this. And I dipped my school brownie in mustard, almost threw up. That's not a good combination.
What grade was this?
Somewhere between first and second grade.
Okay, that's a reasonable.
Sense. Yeah.
I can just kind of see you being like, it was in eighth grade. And you're like, oh yeah, fart head, watch this.
I do remember one time, this was the worst. I still hold this against Adrian. One time, Carter was 4 or 5 and she handed him a thing of sour cream and told him it was vanilla ice cream.
Yes.
And he still does not trust her to this day.
Something similar happened with me.
She laughed so hard. I was like, why would you laugh at this? That kid's never going to trust you.
That happened to me twice, both because of my father, because, you know, he's just evil. You know, I don't know if they still do this, but the Kid Cuisine meals they used to have.
Yes.
They used to have the little, like one of the sections was, I think it was like chocolate pudding.
Yes.
Okay.
Or a brownie.
Yeah.
Can we pause that for just 1 second? Did you ever feel like you had to have a college degree to cook the kids' cuisine the way they wanted you to?
You had to like peel this part, poke this part.
But if you peel that other part, your main part's done.
Your mashed potatoes are burnt.
Yeah, idiot. Why didn't you do this with your brownie? Like, I thought it was delicious, but man, they had some rules on there.
It was way too complicated for a child's meal. Like, what are we doing? Sure. But the one that would have the chocolate pudding, I would always want that one. And they made a similar one. I think it had chicken nuggets with it. But they put barbecue sauce instead. And my dad told me, it's the one with the pudding like you like. And it was a crappy little meal. They looked exactly the same. And so I just got a spoonful of barbecue sauce. And I'm like 4 or 5 years old. Just ate the barbecue sauce. And that scarred me for life. I like barbecue sauce now. But one that scarred me forever, and it probably won't ever change, he used to do this all the time when we would go to fast food places. You know, they used to actually just put it up at the counter. You had to walk up and go grab it. It was mainly at Taco Bell that this would happen. My dad's a big tea guy, and I was a big just like whatever Coke or Pepsi.
So he's not low tea.
He would switch our drinks because they're the exact same color, but it was tea. And so now to this day, tea like scares me because I would always think it was soda, and then it would be that warm tea, and he would always get unsweet too. So like there was no gratifying factor to it. It was just straight tea. I'm like, nope, can't do this.
To this day, I believe that is why I hate tea so much. I've tried it more recently, still don't love it. But our version of that was we used to have like that big brown jug that you couldn't see through, and I drank out of it directly once because I thought it was apple juice when I was a kid. And it was tea. I thought it was the grossest thing ever. I just like spit it out all over the floor.
What?
Yeah.
You couldn't find a sink?
I did that in the middle of a Taco Bell.
No.
I feel like we should do some things and we should give Kevin money when we go to New Orleans next week to try different flavors.
Try this.
That's how my dad got me to branch out growing up, like to finally try steak when I was like, I don't know, 14 maybe. He was like, $50. You know, I was like, done. And I tried steak. I was like, this is the best thing ever. I've been missing out. What the heck?
That's how my, not that I don't get made fun of enough. That's how my mom got me to try pork chops. She called them white steak.
Did you like pork chops?
I did.
Yeah.
And I do.
Like, what do you think, Corey, if we made him, is it called chicory tea or chicory coffee? I'm sorry.
Chicory coffee over at Cafe Du Monde.
Yeah. So you get the great donut, right? You're just getting a powdered donut. But then we make you drink all of the coffee with it. And then we do a radio show with him jacked up on coffee for the first time ever.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Canty!
That
would be fun for us.
I think that would be great.
Yeah, I think our audience would enjoy that. That coffee is, you kind of have to like it, you know?
I'm not crazy about it.
I like put a lot of cream in it.
Yeah.
I put a lot of cream
like
in coffee.
I don't like coffee, like just coffee.
I get it.
I have to trick it up.
Yeah.
Inject it right into the vein, you know?
Let's say from the 469 Dr. Pepper and pork rinds. But from
that
the
sounds normal.
Yeah, that sounds okay. From the 817, I put sugar on my mac and cheese.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting. From the 214, Applejack cereal with orange juice. Do you use the orange juice instead of milk? Is that like a substitute?
That sounds like a fun idea. Because it's already apple flavor. You like apple and orange goes together.
I don't think it's apple flavor. It's sugar flavor.
Pretty much it.
I don't think orange juice on cereal is good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never tried it.
I've never tried it either. It doesn't sound good, but to be fair, we haven't done the research.
Exactly. We should do the research.
When they 817 chili on a cinnamon roll.
You know what? We need to be writing down all of these. The fan text we're getting right now. We need to just screenshot it.
Yeah.
And for, you know, during the summer, try one out every week.
When I was little and my papa, grandpa, he would have milk with, we'd go out to Tex-Mex places where there's like El Phoenix or something like that, to Cheetos, they're gone. But and he would always order a glass of milk with his enchilada dinner. And it was
to settle his.
I don't know. I was like, I feel like we're getting enough dairy here right now. And then we're adding the spice.
How much
and
dairy like, is enough dairy, Mike?
If you get cheese enchiladas with cheese sauce on top, and maybe you order a thing of queso
chips
to
and
dip
queso,
your chips in, I'm like, the dairy's here. We've dairied it up. But I was like, milk just doesn't sound pleasing at all with Tex-Mex.
I never really want milk, ever.
Cookies?
Not cake? Even. I never desire. If I'm gonna have cake, I'd rather put ice cream on it than milk.
It was my son's birthday yesterday, and I celebrated by not being with him. So we're going to celebrate tonight. Well, I had commitments.
Let's go, Rangers.
Yeah, Ranger Sports Network. Let's go.
But I should know my 15-year-old son better because I'm like, do you want a cake? Do you want cookies? Do you want ice cream? Do you want all of the above? I'm here to celebrate you tonight. But I don't know what he loves as his favorite dessert.
Well,
that's bad of me.
I wonder if he's going to love this. The reason I asked this, for the Super Bowl upcoming, Popeyes has dropped a new food collaboration with Don Julio Tequila. You can now get your hands on the Popeyes Tequila Reposado flavored Concha Chicken Sandwich.
Interesting.
A chicken breast filet marinated in Reposado tequila, then fried in Popeyes crunchy buttermilk top breading and toppings and all of that. So it's like their normal process, but it's pre-marinated in tequila. And since it is, you have to be 21 and over to order this. You have to show an ID, even though it's all baked out. But they have that and the same marinade on wings. So if you want to try tequila chicken.
Well, I've had tequila lime chicken plenty of times, like at a Mexican restaurants or something like that. I've had it, but I've never had it fried. So I don't know what that is, but...
The best way for me to fry my chicken is you marinate it for at least 2 hours, if not like overnight, in buttermilk and pickle juice.
Pickle juice.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And that gives it great moisture.
Yep.
Mm. So as you're frying it, you still get really juicy chicken. Mm. And it's a kind of a trick that Chick-fil-A does.
Yes.
They marinate their chicken in pickle juice.
It has the salty flavor.
But you just add the buttermilk to it too, and you have yourself a very juicy fried chicken.
And I just wish that people could hear the things that Kevin Hagelin tells me that only goes to my ears.
Oh, man, that was a good joke.
That was, and I almost lost it, but that's my time. Thankfully, it's the end of the segment.
Was it about ED? Because coming up next, I bet there's a commercial about ED.
Eric Dickerson.
No, but there is one for Best Buy Windows, Mike.
Oh, there is? Give me a minute here. You keep talking. Oh, okay. We're already out of time.
Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Would you trade your NFL MVP for a Super Bowl? Next right here in the Fan.
You didn't give me enough time, so I'm still going to click on this.
Hey, last read. It couldn't be worse than that. Hey,
maybe you want to play Lamar in the Super Bowl, which he's not going to be a part of, or...
Make sure you join us. Hopefully you're always with us at 10:20. We will have, he used to be called Edge, now he is Cope in AEW. We will have the wrestler on with us at 10:20. But right now, time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go!
And we start, I want to know y'all's thoughts about this, because besides Cam Newton's ridiculous looking hat today, it was more ridiculous than others. He said he would not trade his MVP for a Super Bowl ring. With a logic, he immediately said no, and then said, what's more important, impact or a championship? Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Respectfully, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. What do you guys...
I like when he says respectfully.
Yeah, respectfully. That one feels extra tough right there.
We all know those
are
average to below average quarterbacks.
So what
it doesn't mean... I would say this. It doesn't mean that you're a below average quarterback. It would just that you finish second in MVP, like, you know, the great Dak Prescott.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about that concept? Because I know we talk about this a lot in basketball. I don't know if the same is true in football with the championship missing. I guess Dan Marino, probably.
I will say, individually, it is very cool to say you are the MVP of the NFL, without a doubt. And I guess they'll bring you back to Carolina. I'm not saying they won't. He's the greatest Carolina quarterback. They have a really bad history.
Sure.
And so it's kind of like, it's, you know, Cam would be different if he was a Dallas Cowboy and won the MVP. They'd be like, that's awesome, but we have other quarterbacks, too. I know that when you win a championship, man, do they celebrate not just you, but they celebrate your teammates every 5 years or every 10 years. And it's just this big deal. So I hear what he's saying. I think it's a tough question. The reason I'm hesitating is I'm like, it is a really tough question.
Yeah.
MVP of a league is so special. Now, Steve Nash has two. I don't know. But then he's not really considered a top 30 player of all time because he didn't win a championship. And Cam Newton is not considered an elite quarterback, and he won't get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know. He's an MVP, but that's not going to help him in his Hall of Fame case. But if you won a championship, to his point, it doesn't help you if you're Brad Johnson. But it's going to help out Eli Manning a lot, and I bet he never came close to winning an MVP.
Yeah, in my mind, first off, I like teamwork anyway. Like, I like to work with a team, so I don't like to be the individual doing things. But the part of winning a championship feels like you're walking away from it going, I was surrounded by the best players that year. I was playing with everybody that was on that team was the best because nobody could defeat us. We were the champions.
Yeah.
So I was part of something, and I had a bunch of other guys that were all working with me for that same goal, and we all did it together. We created an atmosphere that we all wanted to communicate what we wanted to accomplish, and we did it. So I'm personally would prefer the championship over the MVP.
Okay, interesting. Now, I'm going to run through a list of quarterbacks here. And I want you to know if you think everyone in this group is elite or they're generally elite. Troy Aikman, Tom Brady, John Elway, Patrick Mahomes, Ben Roethlisberger, Kurt Warner, and Russell Wilson.
That's an awesome list. Obviously, the last one you listed is the only, like, I'm not sure if he's a Hall of Famer, but all the other ones are.
Elite's an interesting word.
Well, and I'm glad you said that. The reason why I bring it up is because those are all the quarterbacks that reached two Super Bowls within the first 5 years of their career. Jalen Hurts is on that list now, too.
Wow.
But it doesn't feel like anybody considers Jalen Hurts elite. Do you think that's a fair assumption, or do you consider him elite?
Yeah, I don't. If I'm naming the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, maybe I consider him at five, but he's not close to the top four.
Yeah, he's in my top 10 because their team is that good.
Sure.
But I don't think of him as a prolific passer. But then I watch him throw to AJ Brown and Devontae. Sometimes I'm like, man, that was beautiful.
Like right now you have tier one quarterbacks. If you want to just not put Patrick Mahomes on his own tier, but you have Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Lamar Jackson. I think those are tier one quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I don't think Jalen Hurts even is considered with those guys.
I think you're probably right. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up because I was fascinated.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah. And that's tough too for him because I never thought there was a time he was. Because even when they were winning, everyone's like, oh, you're winning with the defense. Like, good for you.
Yeah. And you have Marshawn.
Yeah,
Lynch
but the people who were saying that were his teammates.
that
was the weird.
That is
true.
Hey,
why are his defensive teammates going, we're carrying this dude? And
for
then we kind of found out, like, maybe they were when we were giving Russell a lot of credit.
And from the 903, he's not elite, but unlimited.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. From the 682, Cam Newton said the WNBA would surpass MLB in popularity in 20 years, which is one of the dumbest opinions I've ever heard. But I was too sick to talk and couldn't talk about that with y'all. Now, Matthew Stafford, still got to work out a couple of things with the Rams, but he said, well, the word is he's coming back to play in 2025. It feels like from watching him that you're like, oh, yeah, he could play another season.
Who's this?
Matthew Stafford.
I know they wanted to make that happen quicker, too. Like McVay was like, hey, let's get this done faster. So it's interesting.
I know it's Super Bowl week, so it might be the last time for me to ask all the football questions this season. So I don't know if we're doing it Tuesday or not, but I was thinking, who could be a superstar next year who hasn't even been a star yet?
Ooh, man.
That's one I was thinking about. When it's like, you know.
I'm kind of doing that with baseball a little bit in C block today.
Ooh.
So think about that for a little bit, Mike.
You think about this. Post Malone is going to headline the NFL's tailgate concert ahead of Super Bowl 59.
Is this on Saturday night?
I think it's before the game, like in the afternoon.
Yeah, okay. Well, they're going to get a great show. A lot of people seem to like Post Malone, man.
They really do, don't they?
105.3 The Fan Zone.
He's trying to drink beer on commercials.
Dude, I think those commercials are funny. I think Shane Gillis is funny anyway. I know he's controversial in some ways, but I think he's got a good stand-up bit.
Who has had such different transformations from where Post Malone was 10 years ago and then 5 years ago and now who he is now.
Bieber tour.
Yeah, it's just, it's interesting.
Will he go down as a more successful tattoo on the face person than Mike Tyson?
I don't know. We all got to see Mike Tyson's butt, and I think that was the
yeah,
the
no tattoos on his butt.
That's true.
At least he had a cod piece on. Like, geez, what if they'd have scanned down and he's just been naked? I guess it's Netflix.
That's true.
Dangling like they're like a punching bag.
Yeah. Know? He calls those his speed bags.
Okay.
All right. It's too far.
Speed. Jumping there's only feet. One speed bag. I've never seen somebody do two speed bags.
I bet they have. I can't prove any of that well, with a video.
There's YouTube. I'm going to
okay.
This.
All right. You do
you
that.
Careful how you word it.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good point. All right.
Two speed bags at one time is what I'm searching for.
I hope the safe filter is on. All right. Commanders assistant quarterback coach David Blau has a request from the Jets to interview for their QB job, as well as a request from the Bears to be their passing game coordinator. The reason I wanted to throw this out there is, first of all, he's only 29 years old, but also he went to Carrollton Creekview High School.
Oh, congratulations. I remember that name.
There
actually.
You go.
That's interesting. He, Jaden Daniels, has a great season, and everybody's like, hold on, let's talk to his quarterbacks coach.
Cliff, I mean, you got to at least check, right?
He did something right. He communicated something that helped out that player just as much as Cliff did. So that relationship's very interesting. Yeah, that's awesome for him.
No such thing on YouTube.
Okay.
There's people that are showing you how to do a speed bag.
But not.
Or different ways to do a speed bag, but there's not anybody here that has two speed bags set up.
Okay. Now, something they could...
If you did it to Tyson, it'd be the first time.
I will defer to you, Mike, on this. When it comes to something that could be big for the Super Bowl, the Eagles have opened the practice window for Brandon Graham. Now, that does not mean he will play in the Super Bowl. Remember, he tore his triceps in November, and he had been hoping to play if the Eagles made it to the Super Bowl. This gives him that chance, like from a procedural point of view and when you have to have everything in. This gives him a chance. So not to say he'll play, but there you go. And then the last thing I wanted to mention to you guys today is, did you see, and I thought this was really cool.
I know he got to play in other Super Bowls, Brandon Graham, and I know we're almost out of time, but how like heartbroken would you be if, let's say you're in your 10th year in the league or 7th year in the league and you know your career's coming to an end. This isn't Brandon Graham. He's played in them and he's had a great career.
Jacob DeGrom.
And then you don't get to play.
Jacob DeGrom. Like that, I would hate that to be like.
He did get to pitch in 2015 with the Mets. But that was like his second year in the league.
Yeah.
But to have your team have that much success and there's just, you can't, like, it's rare you'd get to play in the biggest game or the biggest series, the finals or the World Series or this. And you're just like, God, I can't, I'm hurt. You know,
that would be absolutely crushing. By the way, shout out, or if it's allowed, to the Broncos. They donated more than 15,000 Riddell Axiom helmets to Colorado high school football team.
Nice. There you go.
So, very well done.
See how much the Dodgers donated to the fires?
Yes.
Wasn't it $100 million?
That is amazing.
Serious?
And Steve Ballmer's out there. He's like, hey, I'll match every donation you make. And he's already made his own donation.
Thanks to Shohei, they were able to do that because they have the extra money.
How much money do the Dodgers have?
Dude, they got to have.
They just, like other teams are like, we're donating $500,000 or we're donating $1 million. And it's money. Like, I get people. But when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh.
That's amazing. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, puck around and find out as we talk stars with the returning Joey Erickson next right here on The Fan.